Well, we're at the last in our series of different lies, different choices that we make that really aren't a good foundation in our life because they're built on the deceptions and the tricks of the evil one. We know this because Jesus has revealed to us what the devil is up to, saying that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so that, speaking of father of lies, but no connection to our earthly fathers, it just makes me think of Father's Day, and I do want to say happy Father's Day to you dads out there and to all our dads wherever they are. You really do have an important role in the lives of children. And that actually applies to you men, whether or not you are a dad, whether or not you're a grandparent or a great-grandparent, you are and you can be a father to someone as a role model, as a demonstrator of our faith. You know, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy as his true son in the faith because, you know, he didn't father him as an earthly father, but he fathered him in the faith. And so, men, we have an important role to share the truth of God's word in a world of lies. And so, and that's ever more important for us to be aware of and be informed of the teaching of Scripture so that we can share the truth of God's word in that world of lies. The last lie that we're going to look at today is one that is so easy to buy into because it feeds a part of us and what we need in terms of approval. And this lie is, I'm kind of a big deal, you know? And our parents probably, in many cases, foster this because when we're kids, the world revolves around us. And so adults, at some point, we usually figure out that that's not true, but there's a part of us that still wants the world to be all about us. And so the lie that we're going to get at today isn't that you do have a place in which you are a big deal. As I said, the lives that you influence, men and women, my son, keep your father's commands, do not forsake your mother's teaching. So fathers, mothers, men, women, we teach children what they will bind on their heart forever. Fasten around their neck. It will guide them when they sleep. It will watch over them. And when they awake, it will speak to you, provide them direction. The idea is what we give to the next generation will last with them forever and will be with them no matter what they do. Sleeping, waking, every step of the way. So that's why, in one respect, you are a big deal. Now, so the lie that I want to debunk isn't whether you're a big deal, but why you're a big deal. Because there's far too many of us, and as I said, especially men, we want to measure our value by the wrong barometers. And so this lie is a good one to make the point of why we have to know what Scripture really teaches. Because the truth is you are a big deal to God, but not because of something you do or something you accomplish. So I think to kind of make the point, I want to talk about something called the Facebook effect. Social media has really, this is something that's new in our world, but it's very, very prevalent. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, if you have a Facebook account, and okay, this would be the part. Nobody in here is on Facebook? Raise your hands if you're on Facebook. All right. I didn't say whether you read it all the time, just on it. You have an account. Okay. I know because it is I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, and I've been trying to get on it less and less because it can be very distracting. We have a page for the church. Good things can happen out of social media, but bad things too, subtle things. And so this Facebook effect, another way to say it is Facebook envy. We see people, they put up these posts, and you know, Father's Day, there's all kinds of them out there, events, accomplishments. And what happens is when you look out on Facebook, you begin to have a sense of envy about other people's lives. For example, just yesterday, I saw a church member a little older than me who ran a 5K in about the time that it takes me to do a 2K, if I can make it that far. And so, you know, I hadn't intended to do this, but I walked away from my computer feeling a little bad about myself. That's a little bit of the Facebook. Now, this is not a picture of him, but in my mind, it is. Anyway, they did a study and surveyed 736 college students about their Facebook use and found that when they see other students receiving honors or their diplomas, if they're in a different class or maybe they're a little behind schedule or they're being celebrated by their families, it can create a great sense of discouragement or frustration in them. Pinterest does the same thing. I know I shouldn't be talking about Pinterest on Father's Day, but for the ladies, Pinterest is much more popular. Men do use it, but Pinterest is this place where you can share things from events and recipes and crafts and ideas, and you share them with friends, and people try to use them for ideas and examples, and they try to imitate or copy what's being done. The problem is it can end up a little more, let's say, disappointing, you know? You see something on Pinterest and you set out to do it and it doesn't come out quite as the way it looks on Pinterest. Anybody ever experienced that? They have a whole website devoted to this. It's called PinterestFail.com and it's hysterical. And what they do is they take these perfect posts that look great and then people who are brave enough and courageous enough share their attempt at doing what they saw on Pinterest. So for example, let's say for your child, you see this Lego brick cake and you say, oh, my kid loves Legos. I'm gonna make him a Lego birthday cake. And it turns out looking like that, you know? Or how about this? You like deviled eggs? Who wouldn't want, that is the cutest little deviled egg. I do not know how much time it takes or whatever, but who would not want one of those? But who would eat one of those? That's what it really came out like. How about for Father's Day? You know, you've got a cute little child at home and there's the baby with all the little kisses and so you decide that you're gonna do that for dad and it comes out looking Pinterest fail, or this one was really good for Father's Day. Really nice shirt with your kid's imprint of your kid's hand. It's a little hard to see on the screen, but got a little heart in there, and looks like the serial killer dad shirt. So I would not recommend doing that for Father's Day. The problem is that we tend to measure ourselves by these examples of perfection. And this is just a few. But we measure ourselves by these examples of perfection and it leads to anxiety and stress and frustration, depression, or worse. A distorted sense of self. But it didn't start with us. This goes way back, the distorted sense of self. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to some of the Jews of his day. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship with God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and the truth. Okay, so what he's doing is he's saying some of you are rather proud of your social image. And there were some Jews in the first century who thought they were kind of big deals. The Pharisees and the teachers, they bragged about their spiritual relationship with God, how close they were. Their intellectual smarts, they were instructed by the law. They had all the book learning and the degrees and the letters behind their name to prove it. And socially, everybody looked to them. They were in the places of honor. Everybody sought their wisdom. Everybody sought their approval. And they bragged about it. But Paul said, you think of yourselves as a big deal. Is this who you are really? What he's doing is he's setting them up for a contrast. He goes on to say, you who are all those things, teach others. Don't you teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. He says you're walking around like this big giant deal, wanting everybody to go to your Facebook page because you're big shots, but really what you are Pinterest fails because the name of God is being blasphemed because of you. Now see, what's supposed to happen with the name of God because of us? It's supposed to be honored, known, glorified. Going way back to why God established the nation of Israel, he established Israel to be his treasured possession among the peoples, to show that he was different. If you remember back to when we did that 30-week story series, and if you want, you can still get that on our webpage and on our app, the story series, you remember that God was setting up his people to be different in the world. So the people would look at the Jews, and they would see a different way to live. What happens when they don't do that? They blaspheme the name of God. And what he's saying is, you who should know the best are causing God's name to be blasphemed by the way that you're living. And he gives this as kind of a rhetorical device. He's asking it as a question, but everybody knows the answer. Yes, they do all those things. There's an example, it kind of boggles the mind, but these religious leaders would walk through cities, and they'd come to either a house or a temple that had idols, which they weren't supposed to, right, which was bad. And so they would take those idols, and, you know, they couldn't keep them in their house. So what they would do is they would sell them back to the very people they stole them from, okay? And this from people that they knew were, that the world knew were God's men, God's people. And they were doing this kind of practice. And as God's representatives, this was not shedding God in a good light. These guys looked great on the outside, but on the inside, not so good. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, which you get an idea, right? You can slap a cone of paint on it, but inside it is still a place for dead bones and everything unclean. And sadly, I think the same can be said of us. We work so hard to try to look good on the outside. Meanwhile, inwardly, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we may be falling apart. So we try to make ourselves look good because we want to be measured by our external appearances. The problem is, well, there's a problem with all of these. So let's say, for example, today you look great. Your clothes are all pressed nicely. Your hair, everything is working good, and you're thinking great. You're feeling great about yourself. But then one day it's a bad hair day, or you know it's just not your best outfit, or whatever. Something gets spilled or torn, or who knows. And you're on this cycle. One day you go from being prideful and arrogant. The next day you find yourself struggling with despair and fear because it's based on external appearance. Or we tend to measure ourselves by our wealth and our possessions. One day we're thinking about how we've got it all. We've got this in the bank. We've got a plan for the future. We've got these cool toys and gadgets. Everything's going really good. And then something comes along. Could be a turn in the market. Could be an illness. It could be just that you look at your neighbor who has more of all of those things. And somehow you feel discouraged and frustrated. Maybe even despair. We walk around and we feel good we think we're a big deal because of our family pedigree, who we come from, what they accomplished, the names that are in our family tree, or maybe even the family that we've produced. We've become kind of prideful and arrogant. But you know what I know, and that is every family tree is blemished. Every family struggles. And so you oscillate back and forth between pride and arrogance and between despair and struggle if you're basing your success on these things. Dads, we're probably the worst at trying to measure ourselves by activity. We're juggling all this stuff. Maybe you've got your kids in all these different programs, and you're working two jobs, and you're doing really good, but you're getting kind of tired. And then just about that time, you come across a guy who's got his kids in even more prestigious clubs. And they're getting all these trophies. And he's only working one job. And he's taking 6 weeks of vacation a year. And you start to think to yourself, I'm a terrible dad. Or our accomplishments. Oh, we love it when we're on top of the world and our accomplishments are noticed by everybody. But what happens when our failures are noticed and seen by everybody? See, we go back and forth and we think to ourselves, how could we let this happen? We go from being either on top of the world and struggling with arrogance and pride, or on the bottom of the heap, battling despair. It's just a teeter-totter with the same problem of how we measure and value ourselves. There's got to be a better way. And there is a better way. I just want to spend the last few minutes telling you the better way. Telling you the way that you can know and be guaranteed that you are a big deal because of these three things. First is, you are a child of God. Now, as soon as I put that up on the screen, I want to be careful that you don't tune out, because I know you've heard this so much. At least I hope you have. But you need to kind of really delve into it and think about it. Think about how great it is that the Father has lavished his love on us, that we should be called children of God. We heard that in our gospel reading. My gospel reading is often at Christmas time. I dragged it out for today because I wanted us to hear about the light that was coming into the world, who by him gives us the right to be called children of God. We don't just need to hear that at Christmas. This is who we are. How great it is. And this lavish, it's a profound love that he lavishes on us, washing away every sin, all our brokenness, every mistake, every bit of shame, and leaves you and me standing before God as his beloved children in unconditional love. And this is a sidebar for you dads out there. Your kids won't remember all the stuff you gave them, but they'll remember your love for them. Second, you're a big deal because you're a child, the beloved child of God, and because you've received gifts from him. He's poured his gifts into your life through the Holy Spirit. Right before that chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter that's read at weddings, Paul talks about this. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We call these spiritual gifts. But the thing is, God doesn't give us these gifts so that we can measure up better against everybody else. That's not the point. That would actually be an empty and a selfish use of these gifts. No, he gives us these gifts so that we can partner alongside of somebody else who's been gifted and do amazing things together for the common good. Maybe you've got gifts and skills in carpentry. Well, use that not just for yourself, but realize that God's given you that gift to bless others. Or maybe you have intellectual gifts. You know all the theories. You know all the museums or all the history or all the sports scores, whatever. God didn't give you those gifts just so you can impress your friends. He gave you those gifts to bless others. Or maybe you have a good nature. Somebody people just like to be around. God didn't give you that just so that you can have a lot of friends, but so that you can bring joy into the lives of others. So friends, understand, God makes us his children. He lavishes his love on us. And part of that love is he gives us gifts to be a blessing to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. This is how you know you're a big deal. You're being used by God in the lives of others. And finally, you're a big deal because you've been chosen by God. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows your failures. Before I formed you in the womb, we read in the prophet Jeremiah. That means every single one of us, God knew us before we were formed. That means he knows all about our mountaintop experiences and our successes, and he knows our deepest, darkest secrets and failures, and he chose us anyway. Some people have a problem coming to God because they perceive the message of the gospel to be, look at all these things the church tells them, or they hear the church saying, you're supposed to do all of this, regulations, rules. Friends, that is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that even though you and I are not perfect, that we're faulted, that we're flawed, and if we were left to our own devices, we would be a mess. The message of the gospel is, but God chose you anyway. Right now, in this minute, think about your worst, your dumbest mistake, the place you fell flat on your face, the thing that you are embarrassed about. You don't even want to talk to anyone about. You're even kind of mad that I'm making you think about it right now. You realize, friends, that God already knows that? He loves you anyway? That doesn't keep him away. No, it makes him long to put his arms around you like a father whose son or daughter has just scraped their knee and they're in pain. You run to them, not away from them because they're broken. That's why Jesus told this beautiful parable of the prodigal son, the one who had messed up everything in shameful and hurtful and unimaginable ways, to show us that we have a God for whom nothing changes his love for us. No mistake, no character flaw, no judgment, no shame. There's nothing that changes his love for you. In his sight, on your best day or your worst day, you're a big deal to him. Not because of what you've accomplished or how well you've behaved, but because you belong to him. To God, it's not who you are, but whose you are. That's really how we should define ourselves too. For you and me to realize there is absolutely nothing that we could do that would make God love us anymore, and nothing we can do that would make him love us any less. You can't make him love you more. You can't make him love you less. He just loves you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, I pray your blessing upon the men among us, women and children too, that you would bless this day with your peace no matter what the family circumstances, and that you would remind all of us that because of you and your love alone, we are a big deal. You are our Father. Thank you for your Son Jesus, who has brought us back to you by his love, by his blood, by his life, death, and resurrection. We are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.